are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you for tuning in. Reminding you that the church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We must not stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, and so that we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. The Religious Liberty Report is intended to help equip churches on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that is too often disagreeing with our message. We explore the four great questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? These four great questions of life are answered based on our worldview. You see, your worldview determines how you answer the four great questions of life. Religious liberty, a valued and protected part of our Constitution, the First Amendment, guarantees us the right to express and live out our religion, our faith. The constitutional right to worship, preach, whether in public or in private, our right to faith and religion is well protected. What is religious freedom? Why is it important? And why is it now under threat? Many of you might say, religious freedom isn't threatened in the United States. We have religious freedom in the United States. You can be Protestant, Catholic, Jew, Muslim, or atheist. You can believe in anything or nothing. Seems like almost every week a new dispute arises between people of faith and government agencies, alleging that believers are violating the rights of non-believers. Given that the search for religious freedom was central to the founding of our country, of America, this is quite a reversal. Believers violating the rights of non-believers? It wasn't an accident, brothers and sisters, that the first freedom listed in the Bill of Rights is about religious liberty. Here's what it says, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What this means is that the United States has no government-sponsored religion, as there was in Europe at the time. It also means that there's no restrictions on how you practice your religion in the United States. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about the First Amendment, what the founders understood, and what and why they were so insistent that the first liberty be religious liberty. For the founders of this great land, freedom of religion was fundamental, tantamount to freedom of thought. Because if you can't be free to think as you wish, you can't truly be free. You see, there's no example in history of government suppressing religious freedom without also suppressing other freedoms. One of the first things that the communists did in Russia after the Russian Revolution in 1917 was to close nearly every church and take control of all religious life in the Soviet Union. Even today, in China, all religious life is strictly controlled by the state, by the Chinese Communist government. This raises the question, why do repressive governments fear religion and religious freedom? It's simply because religious freedom challenges the authority of the state. And it could be argued that it challenges the authority of the state more than any other freedom. You see, people of faith believe that there's something higher, an authority higher than the state, and no repressive government can tolerate such a belief. That's why religion becomes the first target of authoritarian and repressive governments. That's why, even if you're not religious, if you care about freedom, you should care deeply about religious liberty. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. In this second week of January 2025, as we approach Inauguration Day, just a few days away, let's turn to page 2 of the report. A little bit of history. Andrew Jackson was never supposed to be president. You see, when he entered the presidential race in 1828, most experts viewed him as a joke candidate with no real chance of victory. Party insiders assumed that, at most, Jackson might steal a few votes from opposition candidates. But Andrew Jackson wasn't viewed as a real threat to the political establishment. But instead, Andrew Jackson's popularity caught fire. He was the ultimate outsider with very little experience in Washington, D.C., though he had briefly served as a U.S. Senator from Tennessee for just 6 months. But you see, Andrew Jackson, he spoke bluntly about the problems affecting everyday Americans. And when Andrew Jackson unexpectedly won the election, becoming the country's seventh president, in 1828, Jackson's first order of business was to clean house. He announced in his inaugural address that he would remove incompetent bureaucrats from office, and he immediately launched an investigation into all departments to root out corruption. Jackson proceeded to fire 10% of all federal employees. And as you can imagine, the establishment was furious. After 4 years, Jackson won re-election in 1832, this time by a landslide, utterly destroying his opponents. In his personal life, President Andrew Jackson had almost gone bankrupt from having too much debt and nearly lost his farm to the bank. So he brought this experience to the White House and was adverse to debt. In 1829, at the beginning of his second term, the U.S. national debt was $58.4 million. By the time of his second inauguration in 1833, the national debt had fallen to just $7 million. And on January 8th, 1835, Jackson ordered the last amount owed on the U.S. national debt to be paid off. America was 100% debt-free for the first and only time in its history. Fast forwarding into the 1900s, the national debt of the United States grew rapidly. In 1982, the national debt hit $1 trillion. More than two centuries into the country's existence and almost 150 years since the country was debt-free. So let's think about that. It took more than a century for the United States to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. All this through the U.S. Civil War, World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, multiple financial panics. And I find this interesting because the U.S. Treasury Department announced last November that the national debt had crossed $36 trillion. And bear in mind that it was only a few months before November of 2024 that the debt had crossed $35 trillion. In other words, it took 106 years for the national debt to grow from zero to $1 trillion, but it took just 118 days to rack up the most recent trillion-dollar addition to the national debt, from $35 to $36 trillion. In just 118 days. And right now, it seems there's no stopping this momentum. By the government's own estimate, there will be an additional $22 trillion added to the national debt over the next 10 years. That will bring the United States national debt to $60 trillion by 2034. So as you can see, we've got a real problem on our hands as a nation. Not necessarily a political problem, it's really a math problem, arithmetic, and a real tough one to solve. You see, the typical solution of bankrupt governments is to have the central bank expand the money supply by printing more money. You see, the brand new money is poured into U.S. government bonds that will cause interest rates to drop, thus bailing out the Treasury Department, but also causing massive inflation. The real solution, of course, is to fundamentally change the way government does business, to focus on responsible spending, as well as economic growth. It seems to be the direction that the new administration wants to go, and hopefully they can pull it off, because if they don't, the end result can be some really high inflation, and some really drastic consequences for the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar as the global leader. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, where we're discussing U.S. history, the U.S. national debt, and the $36 trillion problem. The national debt. A staggering amount of money, a colossal problem. It means that the problem's also getting worse each year. The government will have to borrow money just to pay interest on the money they've already borrowed, meaning that the debt will continue to increase. And next year's interest bill will even be higher. A problem that can quickly spiral out of control, unless it's addressed. And soon. All this is enough to make us anxious and make us concerned. But some are saying that there is a way out. Some are pointing to technological advances. We've seen over the past few decades how technology has accelerated the pace of our daily lives. Technology moving faster and inserting itself into our daily lives, more than most of us could have predicted. Most notably, artificial intelligence, AI, one of the most shocking examples of this phenomenon where technology is advancing at breakneck speed, transitioning from science fiction to reality, faster than any other technological shift in recent memory. The artificial intelligence shock has taken the world by storm in the last few months. Most of us have seen ChatGPT, and most of us are learning to use it and navigate it. also generating images and challenging the traditionally unique human aspects of creativity. There's apps now for writing music, writing poetry, writing books, solving problems, helping us with our finances. They call them front-end applications. Transformative innovations with extraordinary capabilities. It would seem that this is only the beginning, the tip of the iceberg, that artificial intelligence will lead us to much larger technological transformations that will affect our society and affect each one of us. As AI becomes more pervasive in every aspect of our digital and even physical lives. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of January 2025, talking about artificial intelligence. Mark Twain famously said, "History never repeats itself, but it does often rhyme." We are tempted to compare the rise of artificial intelligence to other world-changing technologies. However, this one seems different. We might compare it to the advent of the electric age, where electricity was once a novelty, a technological wonder. But now, it's an unremarkable part of our everyday lives. In the same way, AI is in the process of becoming vital and pervasive as electricity. They call it invisible AI, where the technology becomes so inextricably embedded in our everyday experiences that we won't even notice it anymore. We'll just be interacting with it in the world around us. The concept of invisible AI refers to artificial intelligence technology becoming omnipresent, not just in high-tech applications, but in everyday tasks. Artificial intelligence, invisible artificial intelligence, the increasing pervasiveness of artificial intelligence, promising to fundamentally change the way we interact with technology and our environment. Let's explore a little of how we got here. Let's start with electricity, where Alessandro Volta, an Italian physicist, invented the voltaic pile, the first electrical battery that could continuously provide an electric current to a circuit. All this taking place in the year 1800. AI, founded by a scientist, a British mathematician called Alan Turing, who proposed the concept of a universal machine that could simulate any human intelligence. Alan Turing, in the 1950s, while working at the University of Manchester in the United Kingdom, he developed a theoretical machine that later became known as the Turing machine. Then you have the early adopters or investors. For example, with electricity was Thomas Edison, an American inventor who developed many devices using electric power generation. He was backed by wealthy investors like J.P. Morgan and the Vanderbilts. You see, artificial intelligence is comparable to this when during the 1980s, IBM, the tech giant, invested heavily in artificial intelligence research, developing a famous chess-playing computer called Deep Blue. In 1997, this computer, Deep Blue, would later defeat the world chess champion Garry Kasparov. In 1997, when IBM's Deep Blue defeated Garry Kasparov, it created a hype about artificial intelligence and its capabilities. People started believing that machines could soon outperform humans in all tasks. In the late 1800s, George Westinghouse, an American entrepreneur and engineer, made significant contributions to the development of electricity and electrical supply systems, paving the way for electricity's widespread use around the world. In a similar way, in the 2000s, a group of scientists and computer engineers made foundational advances in what they call neural networks and deep learning. Widespread adoption of AI is now taking place in the same way that electricity became widely adopted in the early 20th century, transforming lives around the world. We can see the same thing happening now with AI, artificial intelligence, increasing availability of large sets of data, and where artificial intelligence is becoming adopted across various industries. From online shopping, to social networking, to healthcare, finance, banking, manufacturing, and countless other applications. As happened with electricity, it's likely to happen with artificial intelligence as it becomes invisible. Underlying every aspect of our digital and physical lives, silently operating behind the scenes, guiding our choices, our experiences, integrating itself into every aspect of our lives. We'll probably not even notice it until, or if it fails somehow. And we're already well on the way to accepting it in nearly all of our activities. Artificial intelligence integration, invisible artificial intelligence. But this all raises ethical questions, questions about privacy, control. Who will access all this data generated by AI? How do we prevent the misuse of artificial intelligence? And more importantly, maybe, in a world increasingly run by algorithms, who will be responsible if or when things go wrong? Will there be massive job displacement due to automation? Will entire segments of society be left behind? Those that can't afford or access these technologies? Will they create a new gap in society between those who can access and afford these technologies and those that cannot? You see, balancing between the pros and the cons, the benefits, the drawbacks of artificial intelligence and its integration into our daily lives is a complex task, nuanced. Transparent conversations about the risks of artificial intelligence, the ethics of artificial intelligence, the potential downsides. This reminds me of a saying by mathematician Albert Alan Bartlett, who said, quote, "The greatest shortcoming of the human race is our inability to understand the exponential function." Exponential growth, where suddenly you reach a tipping point and the growth becomes significantly faster, more pervasive. With the proliferation of artificial intelligence, it seems that we're quickly approaching a tipping point. From a tool that only the sophisticated, tech-savvy individuals would interact with, now it's becoming an invisible, unseen part of our lives, reshaping the way we work, the way we learn, communicate, and even the way we make decisions. Businesses, industries are leveraging artificial intelligence to optimize operations, enhancing performance. Artificial intelligence algorithms are being used to more effectively and efficiently design products, services, predict future demand, manage inventories. In the healthcare sector, AI is helping to detect disease, early detection, and to personalize treatment plans. The contribution of artificial intelligence is not just limited to complex analytical tasks. It's taking a role even in administrative duties, scheduling meetings, sorting emails, handling customer inquiries. This is all just scratching the surface, the tip of the iceberg of the impact of artificial intelligence in our lives. We've already seen this, most of us, in our personal lives as artificial intelligence makes online experiences more personalized, from recommendations on platforms to real-time traffic alerts as we drive down the road. Artificial intelligence working tirelessly behind the scenes, influencing our decisions, shaping our experiences, often without us even being conscious of it. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of January 2025, discussing technology, discussing artificial intelligence. And now a message from one of our friends, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, at South Florida Bible College, they have new programs designed just for you, including a Master's in Business Administration, a Master's in Mental Health Counseling, a Doctorate in Ministry. At South Florida Bible College, they offer undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees, available online or on campus. Explore their wide range of programs in ministry, theology, business, counseling, from associate to doctoral levels, available both online and on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida, embracing a multicultural and interdenominational community. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College seeks to provide quality education at an affordable price. And with scholarships, just a click away, nothing should stop you from pursuing your dreams at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an honor, an inspiration to bring you this weekly report, reminding you that the church is called to be the moral and the cultural conscience of the nation. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves, and Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Alexander Alfano, thanking you for joining me on the report, and we hope to have you with us again next time. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain